Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russ and Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Ronnie Evans, and I have a beep boop problem.
That's a good one. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 422 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. And tonight, as you hear, we have a good friend of the show, guy who's probably been on for, I would guess, a few years now, Ronnie Evans. Ronnie, how are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Good. Before we get started with everything, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Ronnie Evans. I do a lot of AI stuff. I've been in the industry for a decade now. I'm celebrating my 10th year this year. And I'm on Twitter. It's at Ronnie A. Evans or at Good Guy AI. Either one, follow both. And then I do AI stuff. I can't actually talk about all the products because we're launching them in about a month. And I have to be secretive until we launch them. But
yeah. And Ronnie's doing some stuff at the expo. He's doing some stuff with SFB. So we'll get into all that as we kind of rip through the show sheet here. But I think we can get started with
the news.
And there's not a ton. I had to kind of squeeze the juice out of the rock. Rocky will say I'm making some of this up, but there is actually two kind of good pieces of news. And I'm going to go kind of out of order on the show sheet. Daniel Jones is cleared to do everything, and Kittle's ahead of schedule and could be ready for week one. Like, there's a real chance, according to Shanahan. So, Ronnie, I'll start with you. Daniel Jones now. Essentially, he was a top 12 quarterback last year until he got injured and Rivers came in. And are you just right back to thinking of him as maybe not a top 12 dynasty QB per se, but as someone who can be a top 12 QB again this year?
I think he falls right into that range. Like, the QB rankings this year are interesting because it seems like usually there's like a core six guys that you can go to. This year there's like a core two guys, and then there's five or six guys, and then there's 12. And Daniel Jones falls into that big chunk where any of them could finish top 12 at the position. But the likelihood is they fall somewhere between like 8 and 18. And I think Daniel Jones is right there. The Achilles stuff is not like – it's not – it's the worst possible thing to have to come back from. So he's not, what we know for fantasy is it's going to affect his rushing for sure. So I don't know. I think he's perfectly ranked right now. He's in that QB 16 to 20 range on a lot of places. A little later, I think, on Fantasy Pros. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Rocky?
On Daniel Jones or both or whatever?
On Daniel Jones, just your thoughts on him now that we think he's kind of back to being healthy, as which was a question a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely have a few shares of Daniel Jones because he's a cheaper guy, and I'm pretty happy about it. I mean, the Colts receiver core is not amazing, and like Ronnie said, I think we're going to have to worry about the rushing. But I just think it's good overall, especially for Taylor to have a legit quarterback there instead of like whatever else they might be throwing out there without Daniel Jones. So,
yes.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not bullish on Jones this season. I know he started off great last year. But if like we said, if his rushing is going to be curtailed, Pittman gone, we'll see how it goes. I mean, but like Ricky Ronnie said, 16 to 20, that's about probably where he should be at.
Yeah.
He could finish, but I think he could be a QB1. back end
QB. Yes, 100%. I think he's a perfect QB2 for your Super Flex, because I think his floor is going to be fairly established, and if he can run again at all, he's got upside. In Dynasty, would you rather have Jones or Baker?
Baker for me.
I'd go Baker too.
Okay, we'll move down a little bit. Jones or Cam Ward?
Cam Ward.
Yeah, Cam Ward.
Okay, Jones or Darnold?
Darnold.
Jones.
Yeah,
I know. I hate Darnold. I hate Darnold for fantasy. Like, he was not good.
And it's funny, I was going kind of down the list of the football guys' rankings, and Darnold's two spots ahead of him. So, I mean, above him directly in order for Jones is Bryce Young, Darnold, Kyler, but Kyler's too low. Once he starts, he'll move up. Cam Ward, Chuck, Stroud, Baker. I mean, I don't think anyone's going Jones over those guys. So I think he's probably not moving too much in the rankings. So I think it'll be interesting. I think people are going to need to see it, right? And I think the same, and we can use this as a transition to Kittle. I think people are going to need to see it, right? Because Kittle did the same. What was his injury again? He did something bad, like ACL or?
Yeah, it was ACL.
But, I mean, people are going to have to see it. And Kittle is in his 30s, and they're not going to rush him back. I think they say he has a chance to play week one. I think there's a smaller chance they actually play him week one, because I think Tonjes is manageable enough to get them through the first couple games. So, Ronnie, Kittle, are you doing Kittle anything with
Kittle was Achilles as well.
Oh, he was. Okay. So, unless he's just the Terminator, he got injured like 5 or 6 weeks after Jones, because Rivers had all those starts. So I don't see how Kittle could be ahead of schedule and be ready for week one. I think it's like I just said, right? He has a chance to be ready. Will they actually play him? Probably not. Like, I think you save him for the playoffs at this
point. I think Kittle's great.
Yeah.
Fantasy this year, the value that you're getting with him is fine. It reminds me of like Malik Nabers, not the same, but similar situation here where you're like, what are we getting out of week one, week two, week three from this guy? Probably not like anything worth writing home about.
Yeah.
But by the core of the season and heading into the playoffs, all things equal, they should be healthy. And I think I haven't seen anything from anyone I trust that breaks down tight ends like Andrew Cooper, those other guys that are like, I'm out on Kittle. Everyone's basically just saying three things. One is that Kittle has historically come back from injuries faster than other people, so he's got that weird gene in him. Technology has advanced a lot with Achilles injuries in the last 5 years, so it might not hurt him as much. And he doesn't have to, like, he doesn't rely on speed and explosiveness as much as he used to, of course. Like, Kittle's whole thing was he's kind of
athlete,
but at this point he's just really, really good at everything. And so I don't know. I'm taking him in Scott Fishbowl in like round 9, round 10 right now, where I can, if he's still there.
Rocky, would you trade a contending second for Kittle if you needed a tight end?
I would. I've talked many times about how I don't really value contending seconds that much anyway. I think latter half seconds are huge crapshoots as much as any third round pick, really. So I would definitely send a contending second. And I actually do feel, first of all, I actually feel good that even if it is, he's not going to be ready for week one, just the fact that they're bullish enough to say he has a chance to be ready for week one. I mean, it's like the complete opposite of like Malik Nabers, who everything we hear is bad.
Apparently, by the way, they just said Nabers is going to be ready for camp again. I don't believe anything that's coming out of New York at this point about him.
But I feel good about like a second half Kittle this year. And I actually wanted to draft him. I was going to draft him in the seventh. I missed one pick my whole draft. I apologize to the Pong division. I missed one pick, and it was my seventh round pick, and I was going to take Kittle there. And I ended up getting auto picked, and then he was gone by my eighth round pick. So, I feel. What'd you say?
That's brutal.
Yeah. So, I feel really good about him, especially in that format, particularly, which really, you know, highly productive tight ends. I think he will be by the second half of the season doing really well.
Yeah, get Tonjes. Like, just if you're going to have Kittle, get Tonjes. Just he's going to be – there's, like, two tight end handcuffs, in my opinion, and Tonjes is one of them. So just go get Tonjes and have him.
Who's the other, by the way?
The backup to Goddard, who I'm blanking on.
Stowers.
Stowers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a true one-to-one handcuff where Stowers would just slide right in. It used to be likely in Andrews. Like, I think that's the same dynamic we have here with Kittle and Tonjes.
Yeah, Stowers, I mean, as a Tennessee fan, I had to see that guy a number of times. He's so good. He's a really good football player.
Yeah, he's a really good football player.
He's not even remotely at his potential yet.
Yeah, no.
Raw at the position, so.
I guess another handcuff would be Loveland and Kmet, but Kmet's harder to achieve. We'll talk about neighbors real quick. They said he's expected back as camp starts. I don't believe what Harbaugh says anymore. He said he was back and then he wasn't, and then he was back. Let's just see what camp does. I didn't even put it on the sheet, but I saw people tweeting about it before the show, so we'll see what he says. And James Conner's a full go for training camp just to make that. Can they trade him, please? Like, this is crazy that we're going to sit Jeremiah Love behind Conner and all this other stuff, or Conner's going to take carries away and just shoo-shoo, go away somewhere where they can use you somewhere. Like, it's crazy. Okay. So there's only two trades and a lot of listener questions. So normally I have the guest answer, but I think we're going to do the trades first. So,
Trade Addicts Trades!
We have Trade Addicts Leagues are 12 teams, Super Flex, PPR, tight end with 1.75 per target reception, 0.05 per return yard, and all except TA1. And we don't have any TA1 trades. So I think the second one's the trade of the week. The first one's TA8. It's Quinshon Judkins and Keaton Mitchell for Travis Etienne. HN.
Dang it. No, ETN. I'm gonna do this every time his name comes up. I refuse to say anything else.
ETN.
ETN, there you go.
Oh my god, dude. I have like an almanac of information for each of these picks. What is AI done here?
Yes, people who aren't watching, Ronnie has typed all this stuff into AI and seeing what they say on the trade. So Rocky, while Ronnie digests the AI, you answer first.
Yeah, this is a Frank trade. So anybody who's a regular listener to the show can probably guess which side Frank got. I will say I would prefer the other side, mm-hmm. which is Quinshon Judkins and Keaton Mitchell. Right, I am right. That is not the side you got, correct?
That is the side. I got the ETN side, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, Frank is more bullish on ETN.
I'm coming all the way back around.
Yeah,
and I was out, and then New Orleans.
I don't hate him there, I'll take the promise of Judkins. I know he's probably not going to have an amazing 2026, but I still like Judkins as a player. And ETN, new team, new system. I mean, maybe he does well, but I've never been a huge fan to begin with. And I will take the younger guy I'm a bigger fan of, and the Keaton Mitchell on top of it, even though I don't really care about Keaton Mitchell.
That's fair. Ronnie, did you digest?
This is pretty wild, man. So just for the listeners watching, this isn't me. Like, I'm just not like, oh, ChatGPT, which person should I take? Like, there's no fudging going on with this prompting. All right. I put a pretty extensive prompt in there, and I have the, like, I pay way too much money for AI tools. I have all the Primo stuff. This is really good. It's saying I would take the, it says literally, the call Judkins and Mitchell comfortably. I would take the Judkins side about 75% to 80% of the time. Judkins, blah, blah, blah. Injury is the only thing that doesn't make it a landslide. Reports are that he's fine from the injury. Keaton Mitchell, who cares? However, explosive play upside, blah, 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 fun player. Chargers is a better fit for him. Baltimore, Travis Etienne, whatever. My favorite part about this is it says that New Orleans still has Alvin Kamara. But then, which sounds stupid.
Do they, though?
And then it goes on to say Kamara was limited to 11 games in 2025. He only had less than 500 rushing yards, less than 200 receiving yards. However, it is not yet responsible to project an uncontested bell cow workload. And I think that's funny because, well, yes, ChatGPT, there's none of those in the NFL. They don't exist. Yes.
Jonathan Taylor, maybe. But even he's getting talked down now, which I didn't even say in the news. But
yeah. So anyway, it says Judkins. I kind of my personal gut would say, like, if you're trying to win this year, I'd go with HN, whatever his name is, ETN, because he's primed to smash this year. And I think this is the final stanza in the Alvin Kamara song, and it's not going to be a happy one.
I think part of this, I was just going to say, I think part of it for me too is I feel like I'm a little lower on Shuck than most people is. So I'm a little lower on the offense as a whole.
Yeah.
You Shuck.
No. exactly what Ronnie just said is why I did it. I need to beat Tyler at this point. And this is as close as I'm going to get. And Judkins isn't doing that this year. So I'm not going to give away the farm. Like, I'm not giving away a bunch of, like, you know, 2028, 2027 picks, although I don't even think I have that many of those left. But I don't have any of those. Perfect. So I really need to beat Tyler.
I have to win this year.
Yeah. So I, like, it just made more sense for me to add Achan as opposed to whatever Judkins was going to be this year on a very bad team. And the Dylan Sampson hype is getting bigger and bigger as this off season has gone on, as the guy who's going to actually be the guy catching all the passes and everything. So that could take a lot away from Judkins. So, I don't hate the trade at all. I liked this one a lot. I know it's kind of a meme that I like ETN again, but I think this was the right trade. So, and I think Voitko, who was the one who did it, was clearly listening to the show last week because I said I liked ETN. I think he sent me this trade on Wednesday. So he was clearly listening. Anyways, all right, we can play the trade of the week music.
Outhouse trade of the week. Outhouse trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a trade addict's trade, whichever one Russ decides.
I don't dance like Russ, but shout out Zach Reed. It's good to have that back. TA10. This is a very interesting trade. AJ Brown and a 28 first for Jordan Addison and Roma Dunze.
Let me go first.
Do it.
According to AI, this is much closer, approximately 58-42 for the Brown side. I am valuing the unspecified 2028 first as a generic mid-first, which would change things. Like, if we knew that it was an early first.
Obviously. You don't know anything 2 years out.
Yeah. It's always the gambit with Dynasty. It's basically, okay, it's making some notes on AJ Brown, down year last year, historic squeaky wheel veteran wide receiver to a new offense upside, usually smashes first year, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm not going to go through all this, says AJ Brown.
I think I lean that side, and I'm a big Roma Dunze guy, but just looking at it value-wise, I feel like a 2028 first and for Roma Dunze is kind of fair. And I would rather have Brown over Addison. So that's basically how I'm looking at it. I do like that you get the production this year and a future piece. And I'm a little iffy on Addison in general going forward. So it's just hard for me to take that. It was a slightly better piece than Addison. I think I'd go that way. But because I'm also not as bullish on A.J. Brown as some people are. I think he could have an amazing year. I also think he's getting older. He's been having knee and leg issues. So we'll see if he's as good as everyone thinks he's going to be with Drake May. Maybe just being more motivated will be enough and he'll stay injury free. And if he does, I'm sure he'll smash. But that said, I will still take that side just because I do like Odunze, but it is still a bit of a question mark how high his ceiling will be in the NFL. And I need a little bit better piece in Jordan Addison for what you're giving up there.
I was just checking Addison's contract. They did pick up his fifth year option, which I didn't remember that happening. I thought they didn't, but I guess that helps Addison because you know you got two more years, but he's sharing now with Juwan Jennings, which is a better number three than any number threes he's competed with thus far, including Hockenson. So this is clearly like a contending trade. Like someone wants to contend and is covering their ass a little bit with the 28 first, but I would take the Brown side only because I think I'm all the way back in on AJ Brown. I think there's two people who I've been all the way back in on, and it's Etienne and Brown. I took AJ Brown in the second round of Scott Fishbowl. So ahead of Loveland, London, Nico Collins, James Cook, I took him ahead of all of those. So he has to be better because as I've said with Jalen Hurts, where the hate's gone too far on him now, nothing can really be worse than what happened last year. I don't think. Like maybe what's his face is like the worst play caller ever, but I don't think he can be worse than Petullo. So Dubs doesn't scare me. I know there's this giant like Dubs fan club that thinks he's going to be the number one and Brown's going to be the number two. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry, it's not. Dubs isn't that good. And I think you have a number one wide receiver with a quarterback who made Stephon Diggs and Kayshon Boutte look like startable fantasy wide receivers. So even though Diggs said he's like the best wide receiver two in the country, which was asinine. So I would take the Brown side just for the immediate production and I kind of cover myself, but it's hard because I like Odunze. I'm scared of Odunze just a little bit. He's not the healthiest guy ever. He skips a lot of games. So, I don't know.
Can I throw in one extra thing?
Just to add
to it? I would be, if I was contending, I might be inclined to take this trade without the first involved. Only if I was contending, I thought I had a contender, right? It wouldn't be a fair trade if the first wasn't in there.
Yeah.
But one of the notes AI put in there, which I actually really like, and I think I'm going to use this from now on. It said future first is the most liquid and failure resistant asset in the trade. Mm-hmm. So AJ Brown is the most valuable asset, but really in the landscape of dynasty, like the best highest asset players every year, and there's like 20 of them, they're worth more or multiple firsts. But then like the most reliable asset in dynasty is future first. It's always is. It's like the premium currency. And for this, you're basically getting AJ Brown, who should be a top 12 wide receiver this year, plus a future first round pick that you can then flip around for something else next year alongside AJ if you want to reflow. There's just way more flexibility with your roster with that trade, in my opinion. So I would do that one, despite the age of the other guys.
That's where I think the industry would push back on you is the 4-5 wide receiver this year. I think people think he's washed, and I don't. I think they think he's on the downslope, and the Patriots aren't going to save him. I am fully against that. So I agree with you completely.
Can I throw one last thing in there?
Yeah.
Hunter Henry boost from the AJ Brown thing. That's my counter industry take. I see everyone's like, this is tight end seven last year. People are like, oh, AJ Brown's going to take all the red zone targets. No, he's not. Now Hunter Henry's not going to get triple teamed in the red zone.
Yes. It's great
for Hunter. Like, this is really good for Hunter Henry. I don't know that he does better than last year or worse. I think we're just getting what we get out of Hunter Henry, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But he's getting drafted as like tight end 17 right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. He's my favorite value at tight end.
Right, I might be taking him in Scott Fishbowl now because I'm on the clock. All right, we'll do this. Hang on, we'll answer the question. Okay, Lister question.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
And we start with Haywood Almanac saying, what's your favorite NFL teams and how long have you been a fan of that team? Do you guys go to training camp practices? I do not go to training camp practices at all. I'm a Bears fan. Rocky's an Eagles fan. I covered that part on the show, but Ronnie, do you have a team?
No, actually, it's weird. I'm a Players fan. So I usually like have a player I follow for 5 or 6 years. I'm a Tennessee Volunteers fan that takes up the entirety of my fandom.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
His other ones is, how many leagues are you guys in this year so far? So I actually did this count the other day because someone at SFB asked me. I'm in 14, not counting like eliminators and best balls and stuff like that. Ronnie?
I was in 13 last year. This year I'm in 2.
In how many?
2.
Good for you. Wow.
Yeah. I gotta build a business, man. I don't have time for all that.
Yeah, that's true. Rocky?
I hate it.
43, 44?
I can actually just look it up on my MFL page because I have no sleeper leagues left, thank God.
Good for you. You purge the demon.
Yes. I am in, not including Scott Fishbowl in our Eliminator, I am in 25 Dynasty leagues. Although one of those still has a couple orphans, and if you're looking to do a dispersal, DM me.
Nice plug. Yeah, I think I'm in a couple of those as well. So, my question this week was how you use AI in your life. And he says, I use AI so much for my podcast, thumbnails, promos, pics, videos, and AI completely did my, and it cut off. So I will look that up. But, I think, Ronnie, how have you been using kind of you're the AI guy? I mean,
whoever put that question, come to the Fantasy Football Expo and hang out with
me. I said that. And so how do you
I'll see you at the Fantasy Football Expo.
First. Yes. Yeah. No, it was just like, how do you use AI so I could tee you up to talk about AI stuff?
Yeah. So it's hard to like simply answer that at this point because I bounce around with a bunch of different workflows and tools. But here's the trick. Actually, this is the easiest. I use it for everything. I don't use AI to replace my brain. I use it to do, because my brain can't do all of it, and to allow me to then venture into arenas that I never would have on my own, because I'd have to go to school to learn about how to even do them in the first place, like software development. But the trick is to have both Claude and ChatGPT. And if you are doing anything more than asking questions, you get Claude and ChatGPT on your computer, and you have Claude orchestrate from your instructions, ChatGPT as the worker. So Claude is like your construction site manager, and ChatGPT is all your bad boys out there just swinging the sledgehammer. They're like the superstar workers. It really is like a superpower at this point, but it's gotten so good that you can use it for just about anything. My mom is 64 and she used it to fix their thermostat and AC unit a little while ago. Got my dad's building reports with it and he's in his 60s. I do stuff with it every day. I use it to make graphics. I use it to make reports. I use it to make PDFs, designs, plan out things, the whole nine yards.
And for those who want to hear more about it, Ronnie will be doing a panel at the expo. He's still waiting on his time, I think, frustratingly.
No, it's noon. I learned my time.
Okay, noon. At noon on Sunday at the expo. So everyone go check out his panel.
And that'll have it'll have Joe Bryant from Football Guys, Shik Lala from Rotobot, and then Ben Erickson from Fantasy Draft Channel.
Wow, powerhouse panel. Awesome. Okay. On to Dynastud's questions. As someone who owns a few McBride chairs and is terrified of the Cardinals offense, I think he's asked this question before, of the offense both being terrible or lower volume and lower fantasy efficiency, what would you be willing to add to move up to Bowers or down to Loveland? Are you moving up for Bowers? Rocky is, obviously, because Bowers is his lord and savior, but is the normal dynasty manager moving up for Bowers?
Yeah.
From McBride?
Yeah.
Why?
Bowers is I know where you're going with this, and it might be similar to like Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley 6 years ago. Brock Bowers is Saquon Barkley. He is the chosen one, and he has proven on the field that he has the ability to be the chosen one, and that is not going away. Trey McBride might outperform him in fantasy again this year, but Brock Bowers is like the 24-year-old dynasty darling that's going to be here for the next 12 years as one of the top six guys in the NFL, and I think that's just like permanently baked in until it's not. But that's what the industry's doing. That's
I know. Field.
I don't necessarily agree with this. Hours at the 101 in my Scott Fish podcast.
I'm going to have to do this for next week because I have no way of doing this right now. I would love to know how Kirk Cousins treats his tight ends because I don't remember it being all that favorable. Ronnie's going to AI it. Rocky, while Ronnie AIs it, I'm going to put you on the seat again. TA scoring, how many people are you taking over Bowers?
Oh, God.
Chase is one, obviously.
Yeah.
Puka, JSN.
I'm not taking any running back.
I knew that.
Frank. He targets the tight end at a 25% rate.
Okay, never mind. I'm wrong. Rocky, the receivers in the top are Chase, Puka, JSN, Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Lamb, and that's the end of kind of the top. So how many of those are you taking over Bowers?
Top three.
Chase, Puka, and JSN? Wow.
I need to see Jefferson get back. Yeah, I know. I need to see Jefferson with Kyler. Who's fifth? Amon-Ra?
Who else is catching the ball in Vegas this year?
Assuming tight end premium, too.
Jalen Naylor and Trey Tucker. Woo!
I will say McBride is right there, though. Like, I am not giving anything significant with McBride to move to Bowers.
You're not adding a first to it.
No.
I think people have overblown the McBride downswing, which is probably going to happen. Like, it's unlikely that he hits every mark he hit last year, but he could hit 85% of what he did last year and be the tight end one again. Like, he had a historic year. So I think people have missed that. But like if Trey McBride does have a regression to the mean on what his peak should be, still a top three tight end.
And also what I was just saying is, like you said, assuming trade addict scoring, 1.75 premium or higher.
I'm sorry, my brain's still frozen on Kirk Cousins targets his tight ends 25% of the time because that just is crazy to me. I guess he's had Hawkinson and Pitts for like
and then he had Reed. Career. He had Reed in Washington. He was like he threw to Reed all the time.
So he's never had a bad tight end. All right, never mind then. Because it sounds
like kind of snaps this year.
I know.
Really nuclear.
Unless the Raiders signed Diggs and ruined it all, which is by the way, I don't think
that would change it. I think that'd be better for Bowers if they signed Diggs.
It open it up.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Bowers is God. All right, we're at Bowers is God level.
Dude, he's good enough to get the praise, and then he has a situation that is like, if you know Andrew Cooper's formula for tight ends, which is foolproof, it works.
Yeah.
They need to be a top two target, and they need to have over a 25% target share. Brock Bowers is probably going to have a 35 to 40% target share on some weeks. He's going to be in the 30s this year for most of the weeks, and he is the number one target. And he got a decent quarterback this year. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, dude. I like it would be shocking if he doesn't finish the tight end.
So Coop must love Kyle Pitts. He's a top two guy and gets 25% target share.
After
that formula falls apart.
The person that I'm in love with in Atlanta this year because they're free in drafts is a little rookie wide receiver that they got over there. Zachariah
Branch. Yeah,
that kid's.
I'm really in on him because you're right. I said this, I think, on the show last week. There's no one in front of him. There were names that Rocky and I have never heard of.
Yeah.
So in front of him, so
nothing. And he is like, what type of rookie usually hits? It's either a guy who has the stickiest hands of all time and is going to be where the quarterback expects him to be, but that's pretty rare, actually. Yeah. It's usually an explosive playmaker,
which he is.
I think he is the explosive playmaker of the draft.
I don't think anyone in my SFB league listens to this show.
Yeah,
Zachariah Branch is probably next on my queue in the 14th round.
11 picks away, so I hope.
Yeah. All right, he said, if Mahomes is back on the field week one, where should he rank among dynasty QBs? Is that different from where he currently ranks? And is there a real buying opportunity? Because I found people who have him are the people who are – oh, I get it. Because I found the people who have him are the people who think he's still a top one to two QB. Well, those people are wrong. But I took Mahomes in the eighth round of Scott Fishbowl, and I kind of sprinted that up to the board. Like, I was excited about that. But in Dynasty, right now he's 10. This is Football Guys, so everyone's a little different. And Football Guys, I think, is updating as we speak, so maybe this is going to change. But he's behind Lawrence, Hurts, Herbert, Caleb, and then the big five. So, Ronnie, are you taking Mahomes over any of those first five I just told you?
Not in Dynasty. Herbert, Caleb? And it's not because he's a bad quarterback or anything, but the reality is in the next three-ish years, it's likely that Andy Reid retires. Travis Kelce is probably – I think Kelce pretty much said this is last year.
He said that the last 2 years, though.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. I kind of think it is, though. He got married.
Yeah.
Dude doesn't need to make money anymore.
Yeah.
And with those two things, those are, like, important, but – it wouldn't matter to me. If it was Peyton Manning, I'd still, and it was 2003, I'd be like, I don't care who it's, he's the quarterback one for the next 6 years. Sort of like right. Josh Allen is right now. I don't really care what they're doing. He's the quarterback one until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes, the problem that I have with it is that he is not going to be surrounded by this like super primo system that took what is an elite unicorn specimen at quarterback and gave them like the perfect scenario to reach the ungodly heights that no one else could reach. I think that entire situation changes over the next 2 to 3 years. So I'm not putting Patrick Mahomes up against those guys. And then to pair it with the level of young talent and young coaching in the NFL is probably at the highest I've seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to like, just looking at all of that, I look at Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, you're that dude, like, for sure. Like, I would never say that. But for dynasty fantasy football purposes, I think we have better options over the next 5 years.
This is a fun AI question while Rocky answers this. How many head coaches and coordinators are under 40?
That's a Google question.
Rocky, while he types that in, what's your thoughts on Mahomes and where he is? I think he's kind of perfect at 10.
I guess I'm higher on Mahomes than you two are. I would take him. I think he's a little low at 10. And I get what Ronnie's saying, but I mean, even still, if that's true, most of what he was saying is, I mean, Kelce will be gone, but Reed's gone in 3 years. That's a lifetime from now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was QB4 in points per game last year in trade yes. scoring. Yeah. So it's not like he's like falling off. And I get the injury, but a lot of quarterbacks have had serious injuries and come back perfectly fine within a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
I would personally take him over Lawrence for sure, who I always seem to be lower on than the rest of everyone else in the fantasy. Mm-hmm. I would probably take him over Caleb, who I want to see do it again.
Even though people are starting to do that with Caleb now, like they're starting to say, is he too high? Yeah, it's like,
no. I wouldn't. He's got Andy Reid. He's got the Mahomes situation. He's got the offensive guru for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm very iffy on Herbert. The McDaniel part makes me like Herbert more. So that's why I don't want to say for sure over Herbert. But I would guess I just only have last year up, but in most recent years, Mahomes has been over Herbert in fantasy production. So I think at least those three.
Because then you're in the Burrows, Lamar's, Jade. Like you're.
I still think we're highly overrating Jaden Daniels until we see what he does this year. But
agreed. But for now,
yes. So I'll go with that one since he's young and had an amazing rookie season. But I think I'd put him then at least at 7.
Yeah. By the way, Mahomes is 30. feels like he's been in the league for,
which isn't that old.
It's not. He's got at least 10 years left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if you think about the types of players they are, Hurts is 3 years younger, but I would guess Mahomes' career goes longer than Hurts. Because Hurts relies on athleticism a little more.
Yeah.
But by the way, I think 10 is the absolute floor for Mahomes, because behind him is Knicks, Dart, Purdy, Dak. I'm not doing that over. What? Why are you making a face? Are you on Dart? Are you a Dart guy?
No, I'm just gonna. I was just.
Oh.
Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Top 10 quarterback.
Me personally, I can make a legit case for having him over everyone except Allen, May, Jackson, and Burrow.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wouldn't in my dynasty.
No, I wouldn't necessarily either. I'm just saying, I think there's a case to be made. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a trade that should be made.
I also think Daniels, if he doesn't have a very good year this year, his value is going to plummet.
Good. I just want to revisit Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix is going to smash this year.
I can see it.
Yeah.
The Jalen Waddle edition is just like, how do you just take a steroid and perfectly inject it into a thoroughbred race? And that is what Jalen Waddle was for that offense. It's perfect.
Yeah.
He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah. Man, that division's going to be brutal. Yeah, the winner's going to be like 9-8.
It's crazy. It reminds me of the NFC West 10 years ago.
Yeah. The winner's going to be 9-8.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. On keep, trade, cut, obviously not the Bible, just a fun reference point. Five of the top six players in Superflex 10 and Premium are non-QBs. But I feel like no one is actually dealing the Dynasty QB2 for Gibbs, Jamar, or JSN.
Correct.
Yeah. So he says, if so, what's the highest ranked QB you deal for them? You got to go down. Like Caleb, maybe. Or
that's why keep, trade, cut is garbage.
Sorry. It is. And he's,
And we know I'm not Mr. Super. I love high-end QBs all the time. But, yeah, I'm not giving up Drake May.
You can't trade, I don't think, anything in the Lamar top Jackson. 10. And, by the way, I'm including Lawrence in that for these guys. Maybe Chase, but –
I would trade Lawrence for any of those three players, but that's just me. Okay.
But like Hurts, you're not. Herbert, you're not. Maybe mm-hmm. you are. I don't know, but it's close. The top five, like the big five, you're not. 100% not. I know everyone doesn't believe in Daniels. His value is higher than that. You should get stuff if you're going to do
that.
Yeah. I guess the answer is don't believe keep, trade, cut.
I guess for me, Lawrence would be the lowest guy. Who is the lowest or the highest? It would be the highest guy that I would trade. And he's like, what, 9 or 10, depending on what we're looking at?
He's 10 because you put Mahomes over him somewhere.
Yeah. So you wouldn't do Lawrence. Who is the highest guy you would do on that list you're looking at? For Gibbs, JSN,
probably Nix. I might do Lawrence. I might back that off. But, man, if Lawrence does it again, we're going to have a real conversation. Because
yeah, I might have to start changing my stance.
He's a funny man. Because he is like the dictionary example of the situation versus talent might end up being like, well, we have the answer in the end. If you put the worst possible situation in front of the best talent, it's going to actually win out, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
You just can't – in football, you can't have a single player overcome everything else being awful. It just doesn't work.
And Lawrence was a number one prospect, a number one pick. Clearly Urban Meyer messed him up a little bit. I think anyone can see that at this point.
It's good for the NFL, and it's a good story, and I hope that we saw last year is, like, improves this year. And we get that guy that we thought we were getting, because I can't think of a quarterback that's gotten a worse draw than him to start their career. Like, it's really bad.
And then I already forgot who his other coach was between him and Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Pedersen?
I don't know. Freddie Kitchens? I don't know. Hugh Jackson? Might as well have been.
I think it was Doug Peterson. I'm pretty sure. maybe. It doesn't matter. But, like, Cohen's the best offense he's had. Like, so why are we – and he's 26. So
the NFL
so Chase or JSN, it's not a running back. I think that's the cut for me, Rocky. I think that's the answer. If it's a running back, I'm not trading Lawrence. But if it's for one of those big wide receivers that are you're putting above Bowers, then I probably do Lawrence. But I'm not trading Lawrence for Gibbs in Superflex.
It was Doug Peterson, by the way. I just looked.
Yeah.
I got a funny wrinkle to that. I don't disagree with you. However, I know the cop out that people who don't actually like know what they're talking about always say is like, oh, you never really know with rookies and like pre like the Devy stuff. We know, like we do actually know. We have a pretty good gauge on what the players are going to look like ahead of time. And yeah. I don't know. I can't speak for the two of you, but I know that I don't even do the work of other people, but I know enough to have been for 4 years now. I have been correctly predicting what's going to happen with rookie classes a year and a half in advance, like on the money. It's not that difficult. And one of the things that has been baked in for years now is that 2027 and 2028 might have a crop of quarterbacks that shift the NFL's quarterback landscape a little bit. Like genuinely as good as the crop we got a few years ago was. And we
might have backed that class. Might be better.
And I didn't want to be hyperbolic, but I think next year
might actually be better. I think there's five first rounders at least next year.
So with all of that, it also devalues quarterbacks for Dynasty and Dynasty for me, unless it's like a sure thing guy. I'm kind of like, well, do I really want to pay sure thing prices for Trevor Lawrence when I could get by with, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers and Tyler Shuck streaming this year and trade Trevor Lawrence for a 2027 first and go pick the guy that I do want? I usually do really well in Dynasty, and it's not because I go with the grain on what is the consensus with. I try to be really aggressive about what's going to happen next year. It's kind of a like all or nothing thing. And if you play long enough, you know who the right sources are to pay attention to. So when you make those calculations, you're usually right. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
The thing I would say to that is I'm looking at kind of who these top QBs are going to replace. And I don't think Lawrence is going to move down. Like, you're not putting Arch at 8 out of the gate. You're just not. And Arch, like, I understand he's a Manning and all that, and people are going to draft him because they don't want to say they didn't draft a Manning. But he's not the number one top-tier prospect that everyone thinks he is. I mean, he's not Lawrence, who's dropping 50 points on everyone at Clemson like he was. Like, Arch is struggling. Arch is having some troubles at Texas, and this Texas team this year will be a big test for him because it's the best they've had. But we said that last year, and he got smoked by Ohio State when he played a real defense. So I don't think anyone knocks Lawrence out of this kind of top 10 pedestal if he does it again. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
So that would be my only pushback on it. And speaking of 27 picks, he says obviously 27 picks are gold right now, but if I'm a contender this year and I'm willing to trade my 27 picks for reinforcements, when's the best time to do so between now and the fantasy playoffs?
Not right now.
Yeah. You need to see some teams fall apart. And there will be a team that has – who's a contending running back off the top of my head? I'm like McCaffrey, right? And needs – and is like 3-8 and is going to punt. That's when you start doing stuff like that. You wait as long as possible. And then you figure it out. But you don't do this now. Because now you're trading for contending pieces, which are more likely to get hurt, which will make your pick, which like you're setting your pick on fire. So, yeah. Ronnie, what are your thoughts on that?
I was laughing because I checked AI and it nailed it. Like, this is exactly the advice I would give. It's saying best overall window is usually weeks 4 to 7 of the season because by week 8, week 9, usually the worst teams are starting to check out. People get entrenched. Deals have already been made. But you get in that window, and right in that early mid-season window is when people start to internally clock whether they admit it or not. My team is worth it this year or not. And every dynasty league, for the most part, should have at least 3 to 4 owners that by week 6 are like, I have no shot.
if it's a good dynasty league, you should have 2 to 3 owners before the season starts that know they don't have a chance. But if you wait until week 4 to 7, you'll know like how the league is shaking up, who the contenders are, who the pretenders are, who's trying to shop for picks, who's trying to sell picks for players. And it's not necessarily your strategy. You just kind of jump in with the fray, and that's the best time to trade. But I wouldn't do it right now. Like, the worst time to make deals for future assets is usually preseason. If you're trying to acquire them, do it right now. Go get them. Like, the sooner you can get future first, the better, always. But if you're trying to sell them, I would wait until then. And I would also, like, if you can't get a deal done in that early midseason window, just hold them. And then 2 weeks before your trade deadline, DM everyone in the league and tell them
don't have a trade deadline.
They're available and be like, hey, I'm ready to make a move. I see you. You're contending for a championship. I am not. Give me your picks. I will give you players. And that's just the classic strategy.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to be too long because it's basically mostly agreeing with what Ronnie said. But
I'm collaborating a lot.
So well, no, because I'm mostly just agreeing with what you said. I was going to say a little later. I was going to say basically mid-season is what I was thinking, like week 6 to 9. So about the same range Ronnie's talking about. And basically for the same reasons, I think early in the season, too many teams are going to still think they can contend and not be looking to trade those pieces for picks. And late in the season, I think those picks, the teams that still have really good players that they're going to sell off are going to be asking for even more for those players. So like the pick is not going to buy quite as much. They're going to want like your first and second, you know what I mean? So like I right in the middle is the sweet spot where teams are starting to realize, like Ronnie said, I'm not contending this year. Let me start selling off. But not so late that like teams are going to be like trying to create a bidding war with everybody who has picks to sell off any good piece they still have left once they fall out of the race, like it very late.
Yeah.
Can I just throw one extra thing in there?
Yeah.
Just a general gauge. If you're playing Dynasty, I know Frank and Brocky and I have, I bet you cumulative, we've got over 60 years of Dynasty experience on the podcast right now. I've got 21 years.
And I do not.
I think I got about 12, I think. I think 2014 I started playing Dynasty.
Okay. Well, I would just say the one thing that has never changed from back when I first started playing, when it was kind of like this new thing and we learned how to play and how to build leagues properly to like now when it's just a thing out there, it consistently, the people that usually are competitors year over year, whether or not their team is good this year or not, seem to be the people that know before the season starts how their team's going to do. And if you are looking at your team right now and you're like, well, I don't really know what to do. That's okay. You've got some hills to climb to get to like a dynasty expert land, because you'll know it when you run across it. Maybe it's next off season for you if it didn't happen this off season, but you'll get to a point where you look at your roster and just like your gut will be like, okay, I'm gonna go. It's time to sell my picks. This is the team that wins. So you don't have to go rely on Rocky and Frank and myself. You still should, but it's just a good litmus test to how far you've progressed as a dynasty player. Is like, do you actually know what your team's going to do during the season before it starts, or have a good picture of it? And if you're still wondering, then great, keep working at it.
I think when Russ was in this chair, you might have had 60 years, but I definitely am not as experienced as Russ. He says, what I should use AI for is everything I hate doing, but I also sometimes hate myself, so find it difficult not to torture myself with those same things and don't use AI enough. But I do want to hear if Ronnie has any AI fantasy analysis tools based on free public data sets.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much time do you have, Dynastud?
I'll tell you what. I'm on Twitter. It's Ronnie A. Evans. Please shoot me a DM, and I'll go run a search for you over the weekend and get you a bunch of tools. But there's a lot. The problem with AI is that most tools that use AI are not free because it costs money to run the AI tools. And a simple explanation there, every word has a dollar amount tied to it. It's a fraction of a cent. But if you think about, like, I need you to go do fantasy football analysis for me and all the work and research that goes into this, all of a sudden there's a lot of tokens that go into this work. So it costs a lot of money. I would share, like, Rotobot AI. Those are my friends. I helped them and advised them when they were getting started. They did $500,000 in revenue last year in their second year. And even that, without sharing anything about them specifically, typical of AI companies, that's like barely above water because of the operating costs and the investment costs and so on and so forth. So the answer is not really. There's not a lot of like good, actionable, useful AI tools that also are free. It's pretty barren. But I got one that I built for Scott Fishbowl, and I will turn it into, if there's enough interest, I'll just turn it into a tool and let people submit their data to it. Are you able to share your screen? All right, check this out. So this is ChatGPT. I put in this prompt. This is all the answers from our thing.
Wow, we're breaking barriers on Trade Addicts this week. For those on patreon.com/tradeoxpod, you can see that we're sharing our screen for maybe the first time in the show's history.
Oh, look at that. We had a tech guy on your show, and now we're doing tech things. All right, so I built this for Scott Fishbowl. This has the entire, just to show the sources. So this is all of the data from all of these major sites built into it. It also has weighting and back-end logic to prioritize and rank their data so that as I'm aggregating, dispersing it, it's like weighted properly. And then also like all these articles, there's links where you can go in and get stuff. There's expert rankings that I pulled from. There's tools that I pulled from. Pulled on yards. I basically told AI, I was like, go get everything from the industry about Scott Fishbowl and put it in a data set for me, and then I go build a tool. More importantly, though, within this tool, this is made specifically for Scott Fishbowl. It is super easy to sync your draft. You just type in your username, or if you're in MFL, you can switch over and type in the league ID.
If you're drafting with Ronnie and Scott Fishbowl, patreon.com/TreyOxPod, you can see his board.
Yeah. Well, you can see my board anyway, because I've shared this tool with everyone, and it'll show everyone the same thing.
If you need an extra incentive.
But this tool is free, and I could very easily reskin this for the season and like kick it back out probably late July once Scott Fishbowl kind of winds down. But it gives you everything you need. And basically, it sources everyone in the industry, pulls their data, as long as their data is free. I'm not scraping people's stuff from behind paywalls. I could, but I'm not going to because that's mean. And it helps you go do whatever you need. And also, one thing that's really fun in it is you can actually sort by draft strategy. And as far as I know, this is the only tool in the industry that allows you to do that. But it's kind of like Fantasy Pros, but it's free. So that's one of the tools that you could use. It's one I built. It also teaches you a bunch of other stuff. So that's like one thing. And that's free. It's at goodguy.ai. When you go to the Good Guy AI homepage, you'll go to this like super cool 70s style black site terminal. Like you're like a CIA person hacking into a mainframe. And if you type in SFB, it'll take you to the Scott Fishbowl page.
Okay. I will post that link when I tweet the show in the morning, but I'll post that link alongside it.
Whoever asked that, look at it. DM me, and I'll put together something, and I'll send it to Rocky and Frank and let them share it with you guys too, in case you miss it.
Dynastud, reach out. Okay. He said, Frank must tell us all about SFB live drafts and team. If Rocky and Ronnie are in SFB, they too must spill. So,
yes!
Chicago was this weekend. Fun was had by all, I will tell you. Wendy Early in a full Princess Peach outfit might have been the highlight of the day. Peach. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with where my draft is so far. We had a couple guys with notifications off, so we haven't moved too much farther off of the first 10 that you do live. But my team right now is JSN, AJ Brown, Devon Achan, Tet McMillan, Hertz, Travis Achan, Javonte Williams, Patrick Mahomes, David Montgomery, Tyler Shuck, Ronda Gadsden, Jalen Naylor, and Malik Washington. So I didn't expect to take as many running backs as I did. Looking back on it, I probably reached on Travis Etienne over like Odunze, but that would probably be the only thing I regretted a little bit. But I'm pretty happy with my team thus far. And Hurts in the fifth and Mahomes in the eighth and Shuck in the 10th were like my three favorite picks. So how are your guys' teams going? Ronnie, you can go first.
Just breaking news.
Jason Moore from the Fantasy Footballers just followed me. He must be watching our show right now. What's up, Jason? Yes.
He will be at the expo too, by the way. The Footballers announced they'll be at the expo. So yeah, about celebrities in that Friday party. They're going to be mobbed.
Jason, if you're watching, my superpower is that I get meetings with people. I'm meeting with you guys at the expo. Let you know. My team, so on that tool, and if you look at the Scott Fishbowl soaring settings, he's done it again. Some mad scientist BS. Unless you're getting a really good quarterback, who cares? Unless you're getting like an elite running back, who cares? It's pretty much like, can you get enough good wide receivers and tight ends? And that's the approach I take. I'm calling it bully wide end. I'm only drafting wide receivers and tight ends the entire draft.
Joey Wright was doing the same thing. I think he said he took his first running back in the 15th round today.
I was looking at, I'm in round 14 and Ramondre was there and I was like, nah, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Screaming value. Absolutely would have been the correct pick. And I was like, nah. But my team, let me pull this thing up. Actually, screw it. Hold on. Let's go see if we can pull this up in my tool. Take my draft. Oh, we're in there. Cool. Where's my team? Where's my team? Where's my team? Did I get rid of it? Oh, there we go. Oh, this is all janky. I need to fix that. All right, whatever. Sorry. I thought I could be cool and share my team on my tool, but that's what it was. I have, let me pull my phone up. Sorry. I don't have this in front of me. I got Brett Lanier and a few other people actually commented on it when I shared it earlier today, and they were like, oh, that might be the winner, which I disagree with. So I went 101 Brock Bowers, Nico Collins, A.J. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jalen Waddle, Carnell Tate, Christian Watson, Brian Thomas, Chris Godwin, and then I just went Juwan Johnson, Chig Okonkwo, Rashid Shaheed, and Pat Fryerman. And I feel great about it. I got a handful of like tight end 8 through 15s. I've got all upside play wide receivers and a couple studs. And then I've got the guy at tight end.
I like the team.
So I don't feel confident about my team at all. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So I know everyone's fading quarterbacks and I didn't. And my team is, and I probably have too many running backs. So I firmly expect to not make the playoffs this year.
But I have four running backs, and people told me I had way too many. So
I have four running backs through 11 rounds. So my team is Puka, May, Alave, Hurts, Tyler Warren, Josh Jacobs. Javonte was the auto pick, but so I didn't totally hate it because I love Javonte. But it was a running back. That was where I was going to take Kittle.
Do you like how I tweeted you with a Cowboys running back on my
– Yeah, yeah. Jake Ferguson, Jadarian Price, Chuba Hubbard, Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
And we're only through 11 rounds.
Yeah. No, I think we'll have our full teams by the time the show comes around next week. I would be shocked. Maybe we won't, but I feel like this thing will start to pick up a little bit. But okay.
With all the thought Ronnie's putting in, his wide receiver, his wide end team is going to smoke us all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only wide end.
Wide end. No quarterbacks would be. All right. His last question is: my wife and I finished our latest TV show project, Scrubs. What are your top three comedy show recommendations?
Oh, bro.
Do it.
If you like comedy and you also happen to like horror, you got to watch Widow's Bay. Have you guys seen Widow's Bay?
No, and I just heard about it on another show.
All right, let me sell this show for you. And I should preface this. I am that's my downtime activity. I watch two or three TV shows every week and crank through them, and it's my thing. And I've gotten really, really particular about them at this point. And thankfully, we're in like a TV renaissance. Like Hollywood decided we're just going to make TV shows instead of movies. Like, great. And Widow's Bay is, I don't know if you guys have seen Ted Lasso, but it's got this like secret sauce that Ted Lasso has and very few shows have, where like you just like fall in love with every single one of the characters. They're all just like amazing and they're so fun. But what that show is it is like horror and comedy merged in a way that I don't think has ever been done before. And it is like, you're like, the whole time. And it is, it's mostly funny with like spurts of horror. But it just got, it just swept the Emmys in nominations. It has like by far the most Emmy nominations. It's really fun. So that would be, if you like Scrubs and you like Ted Lasso style humor and kind of that like sort of like endearing, I wouldn't call it emotional, but like Scrubs for me, I always felt like I walked back in, I just was walking around in a meadow with butterflies, but I came back in. It's just like good vibes and like things are happy. And it, Widow's Bay's got it. Ted Lasso had the same vibe. Widow's Bay's got it. And then like Ag will come out of the beach and crawl on the sand and kill somebody. And you're like, what is happening?
It's okay. That was my question. Speaking for the wimps like me who don't watch a lot of horror, how horror are we talking?
Not.
Are we talking like Alien level? Not
like The Conjuring, like,
okay,
we're trying to make you pee your pants horror.
Okay.
But more, yeah, like Aliens probably a good.
Okay. Alien, yeah.
Not like Alien at all. There's not Alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Level.
But that level. Okay. Rocky, are you watching anything funny?
I mean, I don't have anything current, if that's what the question. I was just thinking of older stuff because he said Scrubs.
Yeah.
But I know there's news. I know there's a reboot Scrubs too. So maybe that's what he's talking about. If you're talking about currently, then no. I'm watching like no current TV shows except like Severance, which hasn't been on for like a year and a half. And,
yeah.
And one or Survivor, which is not a comedy.
Yeah. So it could be for some people.
I don't really have anything current funny to give out. No, sorry.
Yeah.
As I get older, I guess I tend to rewatch shows more than I watch.
Me too. I don't watch new stuff. Like watching Survivor was like a new thing for me, and it's only because of like 50, and I knew I went to college with one of the winners and stuff like that. So like that's the only reason I got back into it. But yeah, no, I don't have a ton of stuff, but just go watch. Like the problem with comedies is like some of my favorites are like Friends, How I Met Your Mother, New Girl, stuff like that. My dad has put this well forever. They're great in like the first three or four seasons when everyone's single and then everyone starts dating each other and it gets all emotional and it's not as funny. And like watch the first three seasons of Friends, you'll like pee your pants laughing, but then it kind of falls off. Same thing.
If we're talking older stuff, then I'm going to throw in a plug for Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place. The Good Place is fantastic and not just funny. It makes you think too.
I'd throw Community in there too.
Yes. I should have said
that's
Community. That's one of my favorite shows of all time. I've rewatched that like three or four times. Yeah.
That's my brother's favorite.
I can't believe I forgot Community.
This is going to be blasphemous for Rocky. I am not an Andy Samberg guy. I can't do the, like, say something completely insane, and then he just, like, stares at you awkwardly. Like, it's that type of humor where it, like, makes you want to, like,
crawl out of your skin.
Yeah, it's like, I want to crawl out of your skin, like, type of, ugh, I can't do it. But I get the appeal. But that's the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Ronnie, for coming on. Before we do our stuff, walk us through like your panel again. Walk us through where we can find your stuff, what you're doing.
I can share one product with you guys. I've got a couple crack devs building it for me right now. We're aiming for September 1st to go live so we can do week one, but who knows? It'll be live this season. But we are launching one of the products from Good Guy AI is Fantasy Proceeds, which will be a social media account service that is tracking all of the takes in the industry and then doing the opposite of fantasy receipts, right? Going in and shouting people out for doing like really good. So if you and Rocky all off season were like Gunnar Helm, top 10 tight end this year, and then like we're in week six and Gunnar Helm is a top 10 in that account will automatically go in and
how did you know my hot take for this year? Gunnar Helm, top 10 tight end.
Rocky and Frank, like shout out for that take. So it does all of that, which is really fun. And I'm going to announce this at the panel. So actually I think this is the first time I've shared this. Fantasy Proceeds does public shout outs and tracking of the entire industry's takes and data. And then
what we're going to do at the end of it, which will be great during the season. Everyone will love it. And it's going to be all positivity and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the year, we're launching the report card for the industry. And every analyst, every site, every ranker, every article, all of it's going to be cataloged. And it'll basically go through and be like, here's what these people were good at. Here's what they were bad at. Here's what was off. Here's what was correct. And for you, that if you're playing fantasy at the end of the year, Good Guy AI will literally give you the Bible on who to pay attention to. For the industry itself, as we hire and continue to grow businesses, it's going to become like the resource hub for hiring and talent and all that. And so that'll be fun. It's definitely going to ruffle feathers, and it's a bit of a bold project, but that's one thing. So the panel talking about AI, Joe Bryant, all those guys are coming on with me, which is great. We've done it a couple of years now. And then I'm launching, I have a constitution builder, which is built. I'm going to make it public here in a couple weeks. And that basically you go in and it just gets you your league, your constitution. It goes through it, asks you questions. It helps you build it out and gives you like a full on legal document that you can take to your league and have there. So you don't have so many issues. And then we're doing the commish sometime this season, which is the automated league commissioner, which I've been talking about for about a year now. And we have a bigger project, which I've been working on for 3 years, and I should be announcing some of the people that are joining the team here in the next couple weeks. And they're like the people that built the industry, and it should be really, really exciting.
For those who can't see, Ronnie is very tired. He's like building a whole company from scratch around AI. So we appreciate his time. Ronnie Evans on Twitter, Good Guy on Twitter. Everyone go see his panel. It's going to be a fun time. We'll see Ronnie at the expo in 10 days, apparently, is what I know. It's very exciting. Ronnie and I will both be at the Football Guys baseball game on Thursday. Rocky won't be there yet, but he'll see everyone at the party on Friday. On the Football Guys note, since they're three friends of the show, shout out Joey Wright, Dave Kluge, Jeff Bell.
Multi-year.
Yeah, multi-year accuracy. All three of them were in the top 10 on Fantasy Pros ECR. So huge shout out to them. They do a great job, and I know they work really hard. So our stuff, patreon.com/triaxpod. You can watch while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, Fantasy Cares. There's just a ton of campaigns out there. One and Done, Survivor, all that stuff. Go the Pick'ems out there. Come knock me off my pedestal. I won last year, so come see if you can beat me. SFB merch store has just a ton of good stuff, and they're adding it basically weekly. And they have a trivia on Tuesday nights and the Wednesday hangout. And I think that's it. Andrew Hall. Oh, promo your show. Andrew Hall's coming on next week. What are you guys starting on Monday?
Oh, shoot. See, you like that? I didn't curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was literally clicked the pen.
All right. So there's a lot of AI shows out there at this point. And like, oh, here's how you use AI, blah, blah, blah. I think they're great. I encourage everyone that's doing those shows, keep doing them. They're good. But I think that people are a little hung up on AI still. And I know it's actually a fact. Like half of the population is still like, what is this? And so Andrew and I are doing a show. Andrew's coming on. I'm going to be the resident expert. He is going to be the brand new AI user, and I'm going to walk him through how to use AI. And basically, we're going to build a enterprise level, super, super solid podcast and show using AI to help automate and formulate everything. And we're going to do it live. So the first episode is going to be me getting him set up with some AI tools, and then we'll go and we'll bring in experts from around the AI industry to help us use their tools. And by the end of the season, we will have what my goal is to have the best looking show in the industry paired with a litany of workflows that empower everyone from Rocky and Frank to you, if you're watching and you have a podcast, just workflows. Everything that Andrew and I do, we're going to share to people. We'll put it behind like $10. Like if you want this workflow, pay us so we can support the podcast. But it's my angle to try and do an AI podcast for the industry that's actually interesting. And I think it'll work.
Where can we find it? Places you get your podcast, YouTube, all that stuff, or are you putting in certain places? Where are you putting it?
It's going to be on the Good Guy AI YouTube page.
Okay. Everyone go check that out. And I think that's all we have. We'll have Andrew Hall next week. As Rest of Sure always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Woo! Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. That is the best. See ya.